Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. D. James Kennedy, does that name sound familiar, ring a bell? He was a preacher some years ago, and he was very much involved in something called Evangelism Explosion. And he would go around to various homes and ask two questions, which really became very famous in his evangelism. Number one, he would ask people, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Are you sure that you'd go to heaven? And number two, why? Today, I'd like to answer those questions from the scriptures for us. Are we sure that if we died tonight, that we would go to heaven? And number two, why? And what I'd like to talk with you about is the doctrine that is above every other doctrine. The one that Luther says is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. It's the doctrine of justification before God by faith alone in Jesus. And so let's take a look at this and be made strong and confident and certain about our destiny in heaven, so that whether we live or whether we die, we know we're the Lord's and we know where we're going. So, are you sure that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? Number two, why? Let's talk about that. First, why do we need to go over this doctrine? You already know the answer, right? Justification by faith alone, sure, you know that. But here's one good reason why we ought to go over it. Because it's so easy to drift from it. If we don't hear it often and refresh ourselves in this, you can slide away. Like it says here of the Galatian church, Paul says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. He goes on to say, if anybody's doing that and preaching a different gospel to you, let him be cursed. But they were so quickly drifting, deserting. They'd slipped their moorings and they were off, away from it. So we need to refresh ourselves in this all the time. Even Luther said, you know, as much as he preached on justification by faith alone in Christ, he says, but when the hour of darkness comes, I know how often I wrestle in those places of deep blackness when I fight and I begin to lose the roots of the gospel and of grace. And it seems as if the whole doctrine gets covered by dense clouds. That can happen to us too. Has it happened to you? I mean, if we don't hear the gospel of justification by faith alone in Christ fairly often, we can drift. But if we hear it, we're made all the stronger, just like you're given super vitamins and strength comes into your soul because it's the Word of God. It is the power of salvation to everyone. The gospel is justification by faith alone. So let's ask this question. How can a sinful person become just before God? Because we're talking about justification. How can you be just before God? How can I? How can you before a righteous God, a holy and a perfect God? How can we be just in His sight? This is all the more important for us because let's open up the Bible here for a second. Romans chapter 14. Let's see about the urgency of this. We read over in Romans 14. Paul says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are you sure that if you die tonight, you go to heaven? You know how important that is? You could die tonight, right? And we're going to have to one day go and appear before God and give an account of ourselves to him. How are you going to be declared by God just on that day when, after all, you and I both know we've sinned and done wrong things? We hear in Scripture that God's fixed the day upon which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. That's Jesus Christ. And of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. Look over. Who is it who's going to get to go to heaven according to Scripture, according to God's word, according to Jesus? Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, you here, you there, to the four corners of the earth. And they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. then the righteous, in other words, the just, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So what do you need if you're going to go to heaven, even if you die tonight? You need to be what?
Righteous.
And you need to be just. So let's get that point in. You need to be just before God, or righteous, as Michael says. But the next question is, what kind of righteousness do we need to get into heaven? Let's take a look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Reading of God, we read this. The rock. He's called the rock. Say the rock. That's our God. It says, his way is perfect. His work is perfect. And all his paths are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and right is he. So, what kind of righteousness do you and I need to get to heaven? What is it? A perfect righteousness. Look over here at Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So let's bring in a little illustration here. You need to have what kind of righteousness? A perfect righteousness. Without spot. Without stain. Just in absolute perfection. Just like God is just in absolute perfection. Because is God going to accept sin in his presence? Is he going to accept us to go in there if there's a spot or a stain of any kind of sin on us? Is he going to just say, well, forget about it. No big deal. Or is he going to say, out? Well, you know, we might think, come on over and hang out because you're a sinner, but not God. Habakkuk says, he who is of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look on wrong. In other words, a perfect righteousness is what we need. Now, let me ask you another question. Let's just picture in your mind's eye. I have a beautiful glass of water. Are you thirsty? And I bring this nice ice-cold pitcher of pure spring water, and I pour it into this glass. It fills it up, and you're ready to drink it. And I'm going to hand it over to you. And you take it in your hand. I say, wait, just one little thing. I take a dropper, and I put just a few drops of raw sewage in it. Would you drink it? Who would drink such a thing? It was pure. It only had a few drops. But those few things, I won't even touch the thing. Well, God, similarly, will not abide sin in his presence. We need a pure, perfect shirt, a pure, perfect righteousness that is white and without the slightest spot of any kind. What's the problem with this that you see developing, of course? We look over here in the scriptures at James chapter 2. Verse 10, for whoever would keep the whole law but fails in one point of it has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. If you don't commit adultery, but you do kill, you better become a transgressor of the law. You failed the whole thing, right? So let me ask you a question. You answer me. How many sins does it take getting on this shirt of pure righteousness in order to keep you out of heaven? How many?
One.
Oh, high five there, babe. Good job. One sin is all it takes. So let's take up over here one sin. Look at that. One sin. One little spot. Do you think this is going to be acceptable to God to stand before the presence of the King? One sin. What's the Bible say? If you've committed one sin, if even we could do such a thing, we become guilty of the whole thing. Right? Horrible. Tattered. In fact, I'd forgotten to rip this up, so I was doing this just a few minutes before the service, or before the sermon. Look at this. This is what our righteousness before God looks like. It is not something acceptable for heaven. We're talking about if you die tonight, how are you going to go to heaven and be sure of it? Are you going to get in there with that shirt? With spots, and besides, it's smelly. It stinks. It's been in the sewer pit. It's been out, tossed about in the garbage can for a long time. And shall we be saved? Well, what do people do when they get a stain on their shirt and they hear God's word that we need to be just, we need to be perfect to get to heaven, but we look like this, so what do people do? They try. Hey, high five, Mike.
Yeah.
People try to make this shirt into this shirt, a stained, destroyed, tattered, tainted, despicable shirt into pure white again. And they do so by working at it. How's that going for you? If you're working at it. We remember it says in Scripture, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for no man living is righteous before thee. How many men are righteous before God? No man. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7 says, surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does right and never sins. So, let's say you need to get to this, a perfectly pure white shirt, okay? You have a sinful shirt like this. What if you try really, 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 really hard? Do you think you can ever make it into that shirt? What if, good one, oh, Joshua, excellent. What if for the rest of your life, Joshua, you do everything right you can possibly do for your whole life? What's the problem with that scenario? Yes, how are you going to get rid of the sins you've already committed, right? Who's going to erase those for you? Besides, you're a pretty young guy, how about McKenna? Or the rest of us? We live to 70 years. Let's pretend just for a moment that you could commit only one sin a day. Anybody sin just once a day? Hold up your hand. Oh, I saw two people. Guess what? That's two sins because you just lied. All right? We sin many times a day. If you sin but once a day for 70 years of life, let's have you die kind of young, 70 years. If you have one sin a day for 70 years, do you know if you do the multiplication, that comes out to 25,550 sins, I believe it is, that you have to go to heaven before God if you sin just once a day for 70 years. And you go, you think you're going to stand before God and be able to account for 25,000 plus sins to get into his presence? Who's going to erase these things for you? How are you going to make this garment white again? How can a sinner be just before a holy God? Especially when we read in Scripture that no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law. If you have heard it said, you shall cannot commit adultery, but let's say you just get angry with your brother. Is that a sin? Uh-oh, you're going to be liable, it says, Jesus says, to the judgment. What if you insult your brother? You'll be liable to the council. What if you say, you fool, to somebody? You're going to be liable to the fire of hell, Jesus says in Matthew 5. And over here in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, let's look at this. It says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. That's actually the garment, the rags that are used by the female of the species at particular times. That's actually the literal translation. We've all become like that. All our righteous deeds are no better than that, God says, and Isaiah says, for your salvation. All our righteous deeds, like in a polluted garment, were like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. And Isaiah says, you are angry. We sinned. In our sins, we've been a long time. And shall we be saved? So if you die tonight, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? If you have something like this, it's a false hope. A polluted shirt. So now to the good news. How can we be sure that we can be saved before God? Our righteousness will not avail. How do we become just and acceptable before the king? The answer is God himself has to do it for us. Only he can turn a shirt like this into a shirt like this, pure and spotless. We need a righteousness, don't we? A righteousness that's not our own, because our own is just not going to cut it. We need a new righteousness, one that comes to us as a free gift. And God looked down on the earth, it says in Isaiah 59, he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no one to intervene. Then His own arm brought him salvation. His righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And God came streaking down through the sky in the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to give us what we could not ever attain by ourselves. We thought we could get there by our own works, but like E.F. Hutton says, we'll get salvation the old, fashioned way. We'll earn it. You can't earn it, God says. It has to be a free gift. I will come and give it to you. And Jesus has done that in what is, as Luther called it, the great exchange, where God says, I'll take your shirt of filthiness, tattered and torn, with stripes and stains and smelly and stinky, I'll take that upon myself, and off of myself, off of Christ, I will take his righteousness and bestow it upon you as a free gift by grace. So let's take a look at that in the Bible. Is this true? Isaiah 53. He was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. See him hanging there upon the cross, bloodied, bruised, gasping for breath. And at the last time, he yields up his spirit. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, says Scripture. But he was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So let me do that right now. Here's your sins, right here, laid upon you. At first, he comes over and puts them upon Christ and covers him with your sins and my sins. All our sins on him were laid, and now he is able to take Christ's righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and bestow it upon you as a free gift to you who believe. I got it. Who believe on him. Let's see that later in this same chapter. He says this, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Let's flesh that out a little bit. Who is becoming righteous here? People who have iniquities, people who have sins, who are wrong, who are filthy, but they are going to be accounted as righteous through the servant Jesus Christ. So that word accounted righteous in the Hebrew is zedek. Say zedek. That means to be accounted righteous, acquitted, cleared of guilt. Your guilt removed and a declaration of righteousness granted to you. People who have iniquities are reckoned as righteous through the Savior who is to come. And indeed, in the course of time, Jesus came. And how do we receive that righteousness? By faith. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he or she who believes in him, in Jesus, in the Savior, in the Redeemer, shall not perish, but have eternal life, is not condemned. Isn't that a beautiful word, not condemned? Is that stamped on your forehead today? Not condemned, declared righteous, free, as our bulletin cover says, sealed in the blood of Christ, paid in full, justified by faith. Are you sure if you die tonight, you're going to go to heaven? How can you be sure if you're relying on yourself? You can't. But if you're relying on Christ, trusting in him, his righteousness is granted to you. What you have and need for heaven is a free gift, and faith has taken hold of it and drawn it close as a free gift of God. Therefore, you can be confident. You should be confident this morning. You and I should. Let's see this a little more in Scripture. Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament. Let's turn over there. Here we are in Romans chapter 4. It says, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted, reckoned to him as righteousness. He was clothed in a righteousness not his own. He was reckoned as righteous. Next verse, verse 4. Now to one who works, his wages are not reckoned as a gift, free gift, but as his due. In other words, at the end of a work week, you expect salary, right? Not so with salvation. It says, now to one who works, his wages aren't reckoned as a free gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his or that person's faith is reckoned as righteousness. So, Neil, who is reckoned righteous here? What kind of people? It says here, to the one who doesn't work but trusts him who justifies the ungodly. So what kinds of people are being justified here? Ungodly people. Ungodly people. People who are looking like this are reckoned as righteous if they trust in the one who justifies ungodly sinners. Sinners are reckoned as righteous who believe on him. Isn't that beautiful? It's right there in Scripture. For David says, David pronounced a blessing upon the man to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not reckon his sin. So do you have sins today on you? We got these. We earned these. You got these by working for them, by doing wrong. But these, God says, if you believe on me who trusts, who justifies the ungodly people, I won't reckon those to you. I'm going to reckon righteousness to you. A righteousness that's not your own. A righteousness that comes from God. A righteousness that comes to you by faith. A free gift, namely Christ's righteousness. If I had eyes like Elijah or Elisha and looked out upon these places of you and could see into unseen places, do I see covering each of you his sheep right now? The blood of the Lamb and a beautiful white robe? When God looks on you, how does he see you in Jesus Christ? Is he saying, I reckon to you your sin. I reckon to you your sin. He's saying, these have been taken away by the blood. I reckon to you, I see Christ's righteousness on you. I see the Lamb, my son Jesus' robe covering you. And therefore, I know that you're my own. It's a free gift, says the Bible. For no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But since we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we're justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward. He sent his son. He put him forward as an atoning sacrifice, as an expiation for our sins, that we might receive the forgiveness of our sins and to receive this salvation, it says in Scripture, by faith. So say, by faith alone. If it's not by works, it's got to be by faith alone, because what else is there other than works? If it's not faith, it's faith alone, and it's a free gift. Can you really receive, though, somebody else's righteousness and get in by his cloak? Well, let's take a look at that in Scripture to confirm this. Philippians chapter 3, we read this. Paul says, for his sake I've suffered the loss of all things, all my previous righteousness, according to the law, and I count it all as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Beth, does that sound like a righteousness that's not our own? Does that sound like it comes from somebody else? Who's it come from? From God. It comes from God. That's beautiful. Romans chapter 10, Paul says of the unbelieving Jews, he says, I pray that they be saved. I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but it's not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they didn't submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. Isn't that beautiful? Not your righteousness, not mine, his, gifted to us as a free gift. And one more, Romans chapter 5, it says, if because of one man's trespass, Adam, death reigned through that one man, much more now will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus told the parable of a king. who invited many. And you get in there by means of having a wedding garment. You gotta wear the right clothes. You can't go in there smelling and stinking and wearing tattered clothes like a beggar. That's not fit for princes. That's not fit for the nobles, and that's not fit for a king. But the king says, I come and I give you what you need. Through Christ, I bestow upon you my own robe. And so, as we get toward the end here, you ready? How's all this affect you? Well, let's go back to that question. D. James Kennedy, if you die tonight, are you sure that you get to heaven? And if so, why? What's your answer to that? If you die tonight, are you sure that you go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because of what Christ has done for me, and I have believed on him, and God is going to keep his word to me that I will not perish, but have eternal life, and it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of God's word to become void. He's going to keep his promise to you. So you can be sure and hold that fast. If you go trying to earn it on your own, you'll never be sure. I don't know if I've done enough. And you're going to be in torment. The wicked, they're like the tossing of the sea. They go up and down, and there's no peace for the wicked. But we are justified. Since we're justified by faith in Christ, says Paul, we have peace with God. Peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. The warfare between us and God is over. Our sins are gone. And there's peace also in our hearts, which then springs up like a flower out of the earth, causing all kinds of abundant fruit called good deeds and praise and thanksgivings that spring up to God. How beautiful is this doctrine, justification by faith alone. So let's conclude with this beautiful word from Isaiah chapter 61, which where we read this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a groom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. In Jesus' name, amen.